Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Good Friday, everybody. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik. I'm not even acknowledging the other one because of what he just said to me right before we came on the air. Nick Keiser, the reporter, the comedian behind the glass. You know, we're going to have a real comedian on the show today, so he can teach you some things. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It is Friday. I woke up this morning, and I literally just yelled out, "It's Friday."
You also just screamed.
I just screamed, yeah. I mean, it was one of those, I was
Chase
clapping my hands.
Chase just screams and he's just looking at me in my face. I don't even think changed.
No.
Because that's the difference between, what time's the alarm set for you?
About 7.
4:20.
Yeah, right. No, I know.
Chase is like, let's go! And I'm like,
Chase. Yeah, you gave me the look.
Chase.
So I've gotten this look a few times in my life, not by just you, but you gave me the look of like, I will kill you. Like, you will turn your back and you will be done.
I literally, like, it was just one of those things. I honestly don't think my facial expression changed just because I'm, like, in one of those, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh, your work day is starting and life is happening and now we're here. But it's Friday and that's really exciting that it's Friday.
I'm so excited that it's Friday. This has been a long week.
Yes.
And so I am ready. I'm ready to just kind of chill for the weekend.
Off the grid.
Off the grid a little bit. Do want to say happy birthday to two of my dear, dear friends, Rick Merritt and Jill Jelinek. So they share a birthday, which is really funny and ironic, but happy birthday to them.
Listen, mine was on Monday.
Yours was on Monday.
Which was the 29th. Theirs is today. It's the 2nd. We're all Geminis. We're all awesome. It's clear, Chase, that we need to find you a partner that is a Gemini.
Yeah? You think Cancer's in Gemini? Is that what?
There you go.
They match up?
Yeah. That's okay. Mine.
Well, right. Yeah.
There you go.
I know that, but I'm at the end of June, so I'm a Cancer.
Well, so is Ryan.
Yeah. Is it? When is he?
July 27th.
Well, that's July. I'm in the end of June.
Oh. Well, that just goes.
You need a nap.
Or five.
Oh, we're already off the rails. I love it.
That's okay. We've got a packed show of all off the rails stuff.
Yeah, no, a little different today. And I like doing stuff like this, especially on a Friday. So Styx, the band, they're going to be in town June 17th and 18th at the Ryman. James Young, who's the co-founder of Styx, plays guitar for them. He's going to join us at the bottom of this hour. Adam Carolla, you know him as he's a comedian. He's done a lot of stuff over the years. He's going to be in town in June next week. He's going to join us at 10, and then we'll talk a little racing. Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 for Team Penske, and Matt Graetsche from Nashville Super Speedway will join us at 10:30 as we get ever closer to the Ally 400. But we start with the Titans, as we like to do. And I was listening. You know, we talked a little bit about it on our show. Mm-hmm. Will Levis didn't have a good day. Okay, we know that. And then I heard D-Mace kind of talking about it on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, and it got me thinking, and I know this is one of those just crazy things to think about, but if with a player like him that has – we have so many expectations and so many thoughts, okay, is he the quarterback of the future? What is he, et cetera? If basically there was a rule where, hey, you're not going to see or hear – from Will Levis for like a year, how great that would be for really all of us. And here's why I say that. Because what do we do with a rookie? Go up and down and up and down
Think about how different the mindset would have been if Malik Willis did not take one snap last year. I mean, right? The unknown is undefeated.
Right. Unknown is undefeated.
You have one bad game. You have one bad interception. You have one bad play. And people will hold on to that and completely write you off, write your entire – I mean, there are people who are like, Malik will never play another NFL game in his life. I mean, already. And the guy's barely been in the league a year and a half.
Right. But I think that's a fantastic point about Malik Willis. Like, if we had never – like, it's like he's in – and when I say don't see him, like, he's in a room somewhere. He's in,
yeah,
he's,
and he's –
like, the rest of the team is, you know, for the public stuff is on the field, and he's in the bubble.
Yeah, he's in the bubble doing his thing. I mean, it really is, I feel like, you know, we talk about now, obviously, the attention is switching to Will Levis, but I think the example of Malik Willis is so true because he wasn't supposed to take the field at all last year, but because of the rules and you had to put Logan Woodside on the practice squad, which made him available because you didn't want to put the rookie, you just drafted on the practice squad, and then Logan Woodside gets picked up, I think, by the Falcons, and he has to be your backup quarterback, but he very much was a raw project, and you couldn't get him ready, and you didn't plan on him to start. And Ryan Tannehill had been healthy, and of course it is the year where the offensive line was weak, and he got injured. But I just would love to, you know, if we could just, like, simulate what the vibe and what the attitude would be towards Malik Willis if he never took a snap last year.
This is what I'm talking about. This was D-Mace yesterday. On Caroline Willie and D-Mace kind of making his point about just the roller coaster ride that happens for a rookie.
I could tell you right now, I didn't have to be there. And I can tell you they're overreacting. Just relax. What were we, a couple of days into OTAs? The man just got the playbook in his hand. He just got finished, you know, crying in his hallway because he got drafted by the Tennessee Titans in the second round. Okay, this man, this is new to him. All of this is new to him. So I didn't have to be there to know to just relax. If he had a great day, relax because he's going to have a bad day. He's had a bad day. Relax because he's going to have a really good day. Okay? This is nothing more than and they're there. And you know, these are some good journalists. And they're just putting together what they're seeing. But you know, you just want to caution them. Don't put people on this roller coaster, especially if people that are not seeing this and doesn't understand and already sort of on the fence with the Titans and whether to keep Ryan or why did they draft Will Levis and all this other stuff. Now you're going to send them on this yo-yo before they even get an opportunity to see him in camp, because I guarantee you, I'm telling you, I don't even have to be there. And I tell you, he's going to have a bad day. He's going to make some horrible passes. He's going to have a good day. He's going to make some passes that make many think that, man, he should be the starter right now. But he's not. And he won't be right now.
That was D-Mace yesterday. And that's what gave me this thought of, like, I mean, you obviously want to see him. You want to know his progress. But if we didn't, how much better that would be for everybody, because it's just going to be a roller coaster. Because as you pointed out, and I'm really glad you brought Malik Willis up, there we have this bad taste in our mouth because of Malik Willis, because of what we saw, because he wasn't ready.
100%. I mean, the comments surrounding Will Levis are very similar to the ones that we saw regarding Malik Willis last year. You have up and down practices. You know, the playbook was just handed to you. You're probably still living in a hotel. You just, right, your entire life changes. You have so much on your back learning right now. That's why they're rookies for a reason. And we talk about getting over that rookie wall and being able to overcome so many different things other than just being able to get out there and execute on the football field, especially at the quarterback position where there's a lot on them in this offense. I mean, Will was talking to the media the other day and said, you know, like, this offense, there's a lot on the quarterback to know with Tim Kelly coming in. Davis Mills said that about Tim Kelly's offense. He had a quote about, you know, how a lot of this offense is on the quarterback to know and be able to handle. And Ryan Tannehill spoke on it. So, no, he's not going to be the starter. Ryan Tannehill is the starter. But I think, to D-Mace's point, it's like, it's such a up and down and up and down. Oh my gosh, he threw one bad throw. Like, Patrick Mahomes' rookie year had, and I know it's a different comparison. It's Patrick Mahomes, and we know what he's become, but it is people choose to believe something instead of, you know, taking five steps back and taking a look at the entire picture. Yeah, you had a bad practice. Okay. Have you ever had a bad day at work? Probably. Have you ever had a day at work where you really messed up and you got in trouble? Probably. I mean, the guy's been here for barely a month, and there's so many new things. I mean, you have a new offensive coordinator, so even the veterans there, they're learning a new offense.
Right. Everybody is. And it's going to take time and learning the terminology and all of that with them. But I think ultimately the result that we're going to see, and it may take some time, you know, obviously building up the personnel is going to be pretty good. I mean, that's the hope. Now, I think Tim Kelly, I like the move. So it's just going to take time for everybody, not just rookies, but also veterans, as you were saying. But I hope that people will, you know, pump the brakes a little bit when it comes to Will Levis. And if he has a bad day, he has a bad day. And if he has a good day, he has a good day. We're going to talk about it. That's just what we do. But I just thought it was interesting when I heard D. Macy's comments. The first thing that came to my mind was, what if we just never saw him for like the whole first year and didn't have to go on that roller coaster ride?
Undefeated.
The unknown is undefeated. That is the best way to put it. We are up and running. We are known. We're up and running here on a Friday. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can weigh in on anything that we're discussing today, including right now the Tennessee Titans, because we've talked about this a little bit. What is the most exciting aspect of the Titans right now? I have my answer. We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Was Harold Landry out there? If he was, how did he look? The other guys that they brought in, Arden Key, those guys, how did they look out there?
Yeah, Harold's not out there yet. A whole list of defensive guys aren't out there yet. Harold and Caleb Farley because of injury, and then Kevin Byard, Christian Fullen, Imani Hooker, and Sean Murphy Bunting weren't out there in the secondary of just not being out there for the optional practice. But when it comes to those other guys up front, I've been impressed with Arden Key. I think that he's going to be a really important player for this team, not just for, you know, his ability to rush the passer off the edge and pair with Harold Landry when he gets healthy, but also his ability to let Danico Autry play more on the inside, free up that defensive line to be a little bit more versatile with what Tier Tart and Jeffrey Simmons and Autry and some of these other guys can do. I think his presence, his ability to be vocal, be animated, it's something the Titans necessarily didn't have last year. I think that he's somebody who's going to definitely be that vocal energy piece, which is something every defense seemingly should have. And also, he's just a gifted pass rusher. You can never have too many of those. So I think he's an exciting add for the Titans.
Nick Suss yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. Chase McCabe. I almost forgot my last name. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezevic with you on a Friday. Just get us through. That's where we're at. And I bring up, or I play that clip because I am the most excited about the defensive front, including Harold Landry being back, coming off the ACL. He's not quite there yet, but I feel like by the start of the season he will be, because obviously he tore his knee in camp last year, so mm-hmm. That'll be a full year. And so, you know, and it could be a little slow out of the gates because we've seen that with Taylor Lewan and Bud Dupree and stuff like that. And I think he's being careful because he knows that those two might have rushed back. But I'm really excited about this defensive front.
Yeah, no, I think, and we talked about it earlier this morning with Robbie and Rex Road, like if this defense can stay healthy, and that's obviously the caveat for most teams, that they can be, you know, top five, top six, top seven defense in the league. I know Nick Suss there mentioned Arden Key. He's a guy who I am so excited to see on the field. I mean, he came into this organization and made everybody kind of do a double take, like, who's that? He's vocal on the field. He's vocal in the press conferences. You know, he's got that personality that's loud, it's encouraging, it's exciting when it's, you know, 90 degrees out and you're going through these practices. And I think that's, like, really important. And you heard Nick Suss mention it there. Like, his personality is really louder than life. And you can see that people on that other players on the field kind of gravitate towards him. And, you know, they like that. They like that chirping mentality. So I'm really excited to see him. That's, of course, we know what he's been on the field. He's been successful. Excited to see how he kind of goes in with this defense and meshes with everybody. But from a personality and just a vocal guy, I mean, that's something, you know, you look for on the at any position on the field for their specific position group. You know, Harold Landry, I don't think it's fair to expect that season last year, but maybe the 2020 season or something like that, a little bit of a step down, but still a player who can get out there for you. The ACL is, you know, it is worrisome coming off that. We know what happened with Bud Dupree. And I think sometimes, too, it's different with receivers just because usually their frame and their body, I mean, it's the recovery is different for everybody who has this injury. But, you know, you think of the position he plays and Bud Dupree and Taylor Lewan, like they're bigger guys. So there is going to be more weight on that knee. So you definitely want to make sure that he's feeling good. He feels like, okay, I'm ready to go back out there, because not only Taylor, but Bud Dupree said, I remember when he was coming off the ACL, he said, yeah, I think I tried to rush myself just a little bit too early back there because I was excited. So just be a little overcautious with it before you get out there and really give your full in camp. But Harold is, he's here. He's been with the group inside, with the injured players, you know, still getting that rehab and everything like that and kind of doing their own individual stuff. I'm excited to see, you know, what and maybe excited is a big word for this. I'm excited to see what these receivers can do. Because
now that's interesting.
It's a why people are gonna be like, why are you excited? Why are you excited? You know what you're gonna see. You're gonna see what happened last year. Well, you know, I do think this offensive line got better. I think that Treylon Burks looks very confident out there. He looks conditioned. He looks in shape. He looks, you know, effortless when he's running out there. So my excitement is in, okay, you're given the opportunity. Treylon, you're the number one wide receiver, right? Kyle, you weren't able to stay on the field last year. What can you do? Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, you're an undrafted free agent who's been able to find a place for himself on an NFL roster these last couple of years. What can they do? I'm just excited to see what they do with the opportunity that they're given, specifically Treylon Burks, because I do believe that this step up for him from last year to this year is going to be quite big.
I do too. And I think it's interesting that you went that route because, pun intended, routes. But I mean, I think, I don't know if it's excited or just curious.
Yeah. I mean,
that's probably the bet. Like, what is this going to be? I mean, Treylon Burks, I am excited about. I do think he's going to have a good year. I hope he can be a 1,000-yard receiver this year. I really do. Stay healthy. You can tell that, you know, he looks in shape. I mean, he looks like he's taking care of himself. He's had a year to figure out the NFL and get in the playbook. And obviously, I know the offense is changing a little bit, but I think for him, he's gonna be pretty good. It's just what's everything around him gonna be?
No, for sure. And I think you're right. Maybe excited is not the best word, but curious or optimistic, even though it's hard to be
cautiously optimistic.
And the reason I say that is because, I mean, talking to Treylon Burks the other day at OTAs, he just has a completely different aura around him. I mean, last year it was, he didn't want to say anything, the asthma, the out of shape, just everything, couldn't stay on the field, you know, we all know the inhaler and just so many things happening. And he stands with media around him now and his head is held high and he's like ready to go. I asked Ryan Tannehill yesterday, you know, what the difference was between him coming in last year and this year. And I mean, in his answer, he might have said confidence like three different times on how much that means something. And especially at the wide receiver position, you got to know you're it. You're the guy. You got to have some swagger to you. And I think that, you know, being here this offseason, committing to himself, committing to this offense, this new offense, committing to the Tennessee Titans, and knowing that, hey, I am expected to be this guy this upcoming year, And I think that it's everything we've talked about that he needed to do in this offseason, because at the end of the day, it's his responsibility. We can sit here and we can say, well, he needs to be the number one wide receiver, or Tim Kelly can say, Treylon, we need you to be that number one guy for Ryan Tannehill. But at the end of the day, the only person who can do that is Treylon Burks. And I just think hearing and seeing him in OTAs and just hearing all that he did, and he stayed here during the offseason, I do think it'll make a big difference, because some of the moments we saw him on the field last year, I mean, there were some of those cross routes. I mean, he definitely made some splashes here and there, but what does that consistency look like this year?
Yeah, 100%. A couple of texts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh in Kentucky on our Will Levis conversation. Thank God D-Mace is coming in with some logic for all these people stuck on Levis and how good or bad he is every single day. I don't know how much more I can take of this Levis conjecture. Definitely not a year plus if he doesn't start a game this year. Everyone, please just take a day off from it. That's from Josh. And that was along the lines of my whole premise of, you know, if you just didn't see him for a year, how good that might be for him and for all of us, so you wouldn't have to ride this roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about people not posting their workouts on social media or whatever. I remember Malik Willis's quarterback coach said, you know, he'd been working kind of in private this offseason. And, you know, what you do in private and not posting it out there for everybody to see. But the unfortunate truth is when we get out there for OTAs and they're throwing, it's allowed to be reported on, like a general consensus of how the day went or whatever it may be, or you're allowed to ask the guys questions and stuff. And when people hear, oh my gosh, he fumbled a snap, or he threw an interception, or he overthrew or something, it's like, oh my gosh, they're not even having linebackers rush them. They're not even in full pads. Like, just, it's okay. Everything is okay. I promise. Let's just take it down a notch. Because it will happen, and it will happen again and again and probably five more times. But this is the time you want it to happen. You want the mistakes to happen in practice, in OTAs, in mini camp, in training camp, because that's how you learn, right? I mean, they're under a microscope, right? Every time media or people are allowed to practice. So I think the mistakes are normal. They really are. So I think D-Mace put it perfectly. It's going to go up and down, up and down. As long as you just say cautiously optimistic, I think that's fine.
Coming up next, there is a show coming up at the Ryman June 17th and 18th with the band Styx. I've seen them live before. They're fantastic. James Young, co-founder of Styx, going to join us next to talk a little bit about that. He's a big football fan, so we'll get into some football with him on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the DJ Nick Keyser on the ones and twos. June 17th to 18th at the Ryman Auditorium. Styx, fantastic band. I saw them a few years ago at Bridgestone Arena. And one of the co-founders and obviously a member of Styx, James Young, is on the line with us. JY, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good morning.
I know Nashville has to always be exciting for you guys to play because we are, in fact, the Music City, and it's not just country music.
No, we've always had a great time, and some of the guys actually have, settled down and have houses there. So it's kind of a home game for us in a small way. But no, we've always loved coming to Nashville. The band started in Chicago. I still live there, but I'm sitting on Niagara Falls today, where we're going to play tonight, and we're on the move, and the demand is still out there for us to play live concerts. So we're doing our best to, come to the rescue and play some rock music.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's funny. One time I was at a Predators game, and I, they have the intermission and bands play, and I'm like, is that Tommy Shaw? and that's who it was. So you never know who's going to show up, played some Styx songs. So you've been at this for a long time, and, obviously we had the pandemic that slowed things down. You couldn't tour. So what's it like being back on the road and being out in front of people again?
It's like the Fountain of Youth. It's a rebirth. People, I think, were so, I mean, people have come out in droves. Our T-shirt guy says he's selling more T-shirts than he ever has. I think people, now that it's been kind of taken away from the live music angle, taken away from them, you know, for that space of time of the pandemic, now that we're back, they're taking advantage of every opportunity to get out there, and that's been good for us. And this is my favorite part of it, is standing on stage playing my guitar. So doing it for 50 years, and age 73, and I'm still ready to rock.
James Young from Styx is with us June 17th and 18th at the Ryman. How special is it to play a historic venue like the Mother Church that is the Ryman Auditorium?
Well, it's, you know, we've been there before, but it's, you know, it is a sacred place, you know, in the music business, and it's highly regarded from every angle, and it's just a tremendous pleasure and a tremendous privilege for us to stand on that stage.
James Young from Styx joins us right now. James, okay, so the hard-hitting question. I saw that you're from Chicago, but of course your song Renegade is huge with Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So do you have to root for the Steelers a little bit since they've been using Renegade in Heinz Field for about 20 years now? Or are you a Chicago Bears fan?
I'm a diehard Bears fan, but I think because Bears are NFC, I'm entitled to an AFC team.
Oh, there you go.
And the Pittsburgh audience has just embraced us. And when that song plays on the PA at Heinz Field, they go crazy. And I've even heard the announcers on radio from you know, when I was driving around in my car in Chicago go, "Oh, they're playing Renegade. Oh, watch out! No, it's going to be really this, that, the other thing." At just one time when we were there and they had performed at halftime, the Steelers came back and to win the game. So they've adopted us. So then the Steelers have a great tradition of winning, as do the Bears. And so it's I'm entitled to have two girlfriends, aren't I?
You're entitled to, like you said, an NFC team and an AFC team. But how cool is it as a musician to have, you know, an entire fan base kind of lock on to this one song, and it's become really an anthem? Like, when you go to a Steelers game, I mean, it really has become iconic to their fans. Like, how cool is that, just from a musician standpoint?
It is humbling, and it is exhilarating at the same time, because it's, you know, Tommy came up with the song, and then I said, I want to make this into a little tougher rock song, because it was more of an Alan Parsons thing when he brought it in. You know, it was a slow start, but then I said, we gotta hammer it when, you know, like 1 minute in, and just keep going on it. And I said, let me throw a bunch of guitars on here. And he came back the next day, and he heard what I'd done. He goes, okay, we're done.
We're done. We got it.
Tommy gets credit for writing, because it's melody and lyrics, and those were his. But I sort of laid a thick coat of heavy guitar on the whole thing. So
we love it. And I had a Steelers fan just text me. He loves the anthem when at our station. But we'll switch to the Bears for a second. How are you feeling on Justin Fields, your young quarterback? Are you all in on him?
Well, I live and die by the 85 Bears. I knew a bunch of those guys and got to meet them.
Love it.
And William the Refrigerator Perry. Well, I had a friend who was sort of planning for his life after football, and he was working for this lawyer that was representing me and a fellow named Brian Bashnagel. He was like a reserve wide receiver and was played on punt returns and kickoffs and stuff. But Brian brought me down into the locker room and I met the fridge and Jim McMahon and Dan Hampton, who's an Arkansas native, who is one of my favorite guys on our team. And so I live and die with the Bears, and mostly we've been dying lately. But hope springs eternal.
There you go.
Talking to James Young from Styx. Again, they'll be in town June 17th and 18th at the Ryman Auditorium. You know, you bring that up, that you got to meet some of your sports heroes, and people will say the same thing if they, you know, get to meet you guys. But what is that like, when you still get to be a fan, whether it's of another band or sports like you are?
Well, it kind of puts me in the fan's shoes, because Sometimes people will say that I'm a little aloof and not approachable, but that's really not my nature. Just because I'm tall and whatever, I think some people maybe, or maybe I'm deep in thought on some other issue. But, you know, so getting a chance to meet someone that you really idolize is a great privilege. And I try to do my very best to acknowledge anyone that comes along that is that big of a fan that they would like to have a conversation or shake hands or a female give me a hug or a guy give me a hug. I don't care. And so it's I don't know. I'm blessed. I'm Clint Eastwood lucky. I love that movie, The Unforgiven, where Eastwood, at the end of it, he kills all these people. And there's a little guy there saying, well, obviously you knew exactly who you're going to kill first. And Eastwood goes, no, I was lucky. But I've always been lucky. And that's really how I feel about my music career, is that we had the right stuff at the right place at the right time, and we didn't screw it up. So,
well, and I love asking bands with the longevity that Styx has had this question, because I grew up on rock music. I grew up on music that, you know, my parents liked before me, but you know, on any given day, I'll be jamming out to your music. How special is that to know that you transcend different generations?
It's astounding to me. I saw Jimi Hendrix play live 5 times, and I saw The Who play a number of times in their original incarnation. I saw a lot of bands when I was younger, and that stays with me. Not that I met any of them, but just, you know, the experience. I've achieved what I set out to do, and I try to live up to what I would have expected of me from those old days there. So, I don't know. I love what I do. I'm going to do it till they have to scrape me off the stage.
You're a guitar player, so you get to play some fun licks. And I know all the songs are like your children, but is there one that every time you play it live, you get that adrenaline rush, like you're playing it for the first time?
Well, I mean, Renegade, you know, it's, Tommy wrote the song, but as I say, I played virtually all the guitars on the record. So, and I know the crowds, they want to hear it. And so it's if the rest of the show, if we have an off night and maybe the sound system's not working, or maybe power goes out or it starts raining in an outdoor thing, we still hit, when we hit Renegade, that's it. And Come Sail Away kind of comes in second after that. And Too Much Time is pretty well up there as well. So,
well, very cool. Well, James, we appreciate the time today. We're looking forward to seeing you in Nashville here in a few weeks, June 17th and 18th at the Ryman Auditorium. I know it's going to be a great show. I've seen you several times. But thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thanks so much, James.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Have a good one. James Young, JY of Styx, founding member, guitar player, and yeah, I mean, Tommy Shaw shows up at Preds games all the time. I think he's who he was referencing that lives here, but going to be a fantastic show, June 17th to 18th at the Ryman. I always like when we can talk some rock music. So, you know, we've had a Beach Boy on, we've had member of Styx. So,
well, I think Styx is so interesting because, like, the question I asked about the Steelers,
yeah, that was
that
great.
Is quite literally their anthem. Like, yeah. Every sports team kind of has something, and from a musician's standpoint, like, what is that like? Especially if you grew up maybe not rooting for them, or there's been a lot of successful Steelers teams, right? So
we, when I was in high school, they used that for basketball. It's kind of like the intro, you know? I mean, because it gets you hyped. It start the slow start, and then James hits that guitar, and bam, there you go. Again, get your tickets for Styx, June 17th and 18th at the Ryman. Coming up next, the Milwaukee Admirals, they have made this a series. We'll discuss that, and also the message that Andrew Burnett, new Preds coach, has for the fans. That's next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
And so I do wonder how you kind of view the buy-in of the fans.
Well, I think any hockey fan wants to be entertained. And
I'll start with it. We want to win. That's the first thing.
For sure. That's a great point. They want to win. You want to be entertained. You want to be part of a group, and you talk a little bit of the Predator way, that you want a competitive group that's hardworking, that's not going to let you down every night. They're going to give you their best, and they're going to create enthusiasm from themselves that I think will leak into the fans, and they'll see it, and the product, hopefully we can, you know, play a little fat. We can do some things maybe that maybe a little bit more offensive, maybe. Maybe we have some young prospects that are come that are going to be extremely exciting. Maybe we get the whole group to take off. So you're right. So I think if those are the things that you get the fans going, and I've seen this building coming in here as a visitor rocking at different times. I play in this building as a home player where it's rocking. It's a home ice advantage. And I think if the fans can get excited with our group and what we're doing and how they're doing it, I think that will entice them. That will get, you know, kind of make it contagious with that group, with our fan base, that they're going to be excited to come to the rink to watch this team play, because this is the brand. This is what we're going to give you night in and night out.
Andrew Brunette, new Predators head coach on with Stillman and Company the other day, yesterday, I can't remember. They're all running together.
Yeah,
Wednesday.
I don't even know what day it is.
Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser with you on this Friday. Appreciate James Young for joining us. That was fun. Talking to him, talking a little rock music. But the Milwaukee Admirals, the AHL affiliate of the Nashville Predators, they even the series last night. It's all tied up at two. And so the home teams have taken care of business in that series. Game five will be tomorrow night. You can hear it right here on 102.5, 106.3. The game starting at 6 o'clock. Also, game one of the Stanley Cup Final will be tomorrow. You can hear that on 94.9 The Fan following Sounds Baseball. So we got you covered when it comes to hockey, both with the Predators affiliate and the Stanley Cup. But Andrew Brunette, I almost called him James. Andrew Brunette, I thought that was an interesting, you know, message that he has for the fans. And he and Barry Trotz are, you know, arm in arm on that, that they obviously want to win, but they want to do this the right way. And, you know, Trotzy has talked about taking a few steps back and in order to take many steps forward and get to the ultimate goal. And I think it's been something that's just been so hard for any franchise to want to do, because you don't want to not win. But if the ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup, sometimes you do have to take a few steps back. And I don't know how many steps back this team's really going to have to take because of what they did at the trade deadline and all the draft capital that they have. But I do think it's smart for them to kind of be like, hey, be a little patient. But even Jared asked Barry, how patient, you know, do the fans need to be? And he said, look, I think some realistic form of patience is what you need to have. But this isn't going to take as long as people might think.
No, and I mean, this franchise took a step back in as far as, you know, winning and not making the playoffs this year. They obviously took a step forward by getting a new GM and hiring a new coach. But I mean, this was a franchise that what was it 8 straight years they've made the playoffs or something like that. But it was the Predators, the Capitals, and the Pittsburgh Penguins who had the longest active streaks of making the playoffs, and all three of them missed the playoffs this year, because you do eventually have to take a little bit of a step back if you want to be able to change the core or rebuild to construct a team that you believe can compete for the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. I think you see this in all sports, and it's different for all sports. Like, I would say NFL is really probably one of the easiest, and I guess you could kind of say this for NBA, but you get one or two star players and it changes the game. I mean, you get your franchise quarterback and it changes the game when you talk about being a contender. I mean, look at the Bengals for so long and they get Joe Burrow and they're a contender. You look at the Chiefs for so long. Yeah, you also have Andy Reid, but you get a guy like Patrick Mahomes, and okay, now you're a contender for their careers. I would say, you know, similar to the NBA, if you were one of those Cavs teams and you had LeBron or whatever it may be, you need a little bit more help. But I would say hockey, I mean, look at Edmonton, for example. They still have their two guys. They've got Draisaitl and McDavid, but, you know, it's harder than that. You don't only need that transcending forward, but the team, the way it's constructed, I mean, it's clearly the hardest championship to win. So I think you as a fan, and if you're a fan, you have to be okay with, okay, maybe this year we wanted a new management and we wanted a new coach, and you already know Barry Trotz and what he means to this organization, focusing your energy more on that and what they're doing to develop these younger guys and construct a team for maybe not this year, But in 2024, that could be more of a contender, because I do think there will be a little bit of a step back, especially if we don't see any crazy moves made in free agency, which I don't really think we will.
Well, and Barry Trotz pretty much said that, that he doesn't intend to be super active in free agency. Where I think he's going to be active is trades. You know, like we threw out some names yesterday that could be, you know, guys that maybe have 1 or 2 years left on a deal that are on a team that is just up against the salary cap, needs to make moves, that he could get those guys, and if they fit, he signs them to an extension. If they don't, hey, we tried. That's where I think he's going to make the moves. Now, the question is going to be, is he going to make some moves the other way? Is he going to try and move somebody like Duchesne? Is he going to try and move somebody like Johansson? You know, is there Colton Sissons is another one that is very team friendly when it comes to the contract. So is that somebody? But, you know, I also view Colton Sissons, as I've said it before, a glue guy. And I think Barry Trotz views him that way, too. He's a guy. It was funny. I was talking to some Willie the other day about this, that, you know, Brunette was kind of a similar player. He could play fourth line. He could play top line if he needed to. And Sissons has kind of become that guy. Different styles, but, you know, kind of the same idea. But
well, another guy, too, who we haven't mentioned, who I don't believe they would move off of, but he was a guy we actually talked about during the trade deadline, was McDonough. But I think the comments by Barry Trotz, I think the comments by Barry Trotz, you know, when he had his introductory press conference, was, you know, they want a guy who has that championship mentality. But, you know, it is also important to mention, the guy is 33 years old. He is getting older. You know, what does his even just longevity on this team look like?
Yeah. I think, though, that those guys, as Barry Trotz has pointed out, are important.
No, but, I believe they're important, too. I was just mentioning another older guy.
Sure.
Who, but also, too, you know, it's the, okay, could we get anything out of him? What if he only has 2 years left?
Right.
Or do you believe that, you know, it's an important year for him to just be on the roster, help these younger guys? But as I mentioned, he's been playing in the league for almost 14 years now. You have to take something, you have to take that in consideration. And can you get value out of somebody before it's too late? Right? You talk about this so much in sports. It's like, would you rather hold on to a guy for maybe too long, and then there's not really any way to move off of him or get anything for, you know, the value of a player he is? Or would you rather maybe sell him a year early and still be able to get something for him? And it depends on where you are and what the goal is at that certain point.
Nicholas, a question for you, sir. As I look at capfriendly.com, the Edmonton Oilers have like $6 million in cap space. They're gonna have to make moves. The question is, I don't know who they're gonna move. I mean, like Dreisaitl's $8.5 million with 2 years left. I don't see them moving him, but if they wanted,
if they have to choose, they're keeping McDavid.
Of course they are. I mean, but I mean, Zach Hyman's at $5.5 million, and he's got a long time left. Vander Kane's at $5.125 million with 3 years left, and I don't want him. I don't even want to touch him.
Question. Would you do Dreisaitl for Saros and picks?
Well, that's where
they're
I was going.
They're not going to trade Leon. I'm sorry.
I pretty much agree with you, but I believe that it's kind of the same in the same realm as Saros. Like, they're probably not going to trade Saros. I don't foresee them trading Saros.
But
if the right offer came along, and if Leon Dreisaitl is a part of that, then I think you got to think about it. I mean, Barry Trotz said the other day that if somebody's offering the third or fourth pick in this draft for one of the goaltenders, that he'd obviously have to consider it.
Yeah.
Dreisaitl coming back the other way, I think you would have to consider it.
Oh, I mean, for sure. And I don't think it's anything like a straight up. I definitely think there would need to be some draft capital in there. But, you know, you mentioned their cap situation, how much he's getting paid. And, I mean, what hurt that? I mean, they have the two best players in the world, right? But, you know, not the best goaltending. So it is an interesting conversation.
If you're Edmonton, if I'm an Edmonton fan, I'm just going to look at this from a fan's point of view. If I know I'm going to get elite goaltending and I have to sacrifice Dreisaitl, I'd probably do it.
You would consider it, but still.
The best player in the world.
Yeah, but I mean, you still have, like, I think Evander Kane's an idiot, but like you still you still have Evander Kane with Connor McDavid. You know, you got Zach Hyman who's still pretty good. I mean, yeah, you're giving up an A-plus player when you still have an A-plus player.
So the short-term answer that I would give you before we go to break is I think they're going to have to buy out one or two guys. I think one of the guys that's a candidate as of the last week or so is Keeler Yamamoto.
Yeah.
So I think that they probably buy him out. If they don't buy him out, they have to look at somebody else. But they're kind of set up nicely in a way, but they could buy out someone possibly. Now, that's just what I've seen more Canadian teams do that are good. They'll buy out someone. So they might do that, and Yamamoto is also kind of a younger guy too. So I think that's what they'll probably end up doing, Chase. But I think you have a valid point when you think of, oh, who could they trade maybe?
Look, there are some teams that are really good that are probably going to have to move somebody they don't want to because of this cap situation. Edmonton's one. I'd put the Kings in that category.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Barry Trotz can get the advantage. That is for sure. We will continue that discussion as we go. Adam Carolla going to join us, comedian. He's going to be in town next week. We will tell you why next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.